morning. This is Lee Coley, and I'm excited today that we're going to be talking with Sharon Drew Morgan. She's the New York best-selling author of Selling with Integrity, and her new book coming out, I love the title, Dirty Little Secrets, Why Buyers Can't Buy and Sellers Can't Sell and What You Can Do About It. It's coming out October 15th. And in addition to that, I know I'm excited about the book, and I know Sharon Drew is, but I'm more excited about what she can bring to the table for me and how I work with you guys each and every day and what you can bring to your teams. So what I want to do is ask Sharon Drew to kind of help us learn about this deeper process, this model she has to really uncover some things that are blocks to all of us being successful day in and day out. So what I'm going to do, I thought we just thought it would be a helpful way for us to just do a role play. I coach you guys in various situations, and now I'm gonna be the coachee, and we're gonna make believe we just have a cold call here. I'm gonna give Sharon Drew a call, and we're just gonna let you guys observe the process, and then kind of debrief it a little later on. But be attuned to everything. Sharon Drew is very, very knowledgeable and very skilled at this, and she's even gonna take me places maybe that I've never been before. So let's go ahead and take it from there. And here we go. This is Lee Coley. Sharon Drew?
Good morning, Lee. So nice to be talking to you today.
Great. Thank you for your time. I certainly appreciate any help you can offer today.
Well, so talk to me. What's going on there?
Well, let me tell you. You know, I'm struggling a bit with my team. I just don't feel that we're performing up to our potential. I'm not sure we're executing day in and day out like we should. And with the economy as it is, I just feel like we don't really have any degrees of freedom. We really need to be on our game and just performing at our top level. And I'm just not sure we're gelling and coming together in that way. And I'm not trying to put my finger on it, but that's kind of where we are.
And just out of curiosity, what have you tried until now to help make that better?
Well, you know, I try to communicate with the team and have one-on-ones, and I've done a little bit of team building. I take them out. We do some social things. And I try to make sure we're in sync, but I just don't feel like I'm getting the traction I need, Sharon Drew.
So what I'm hearing you say is that your assumption is that by making the team work better, they'll perform better.
Yes. I think that would be correct, sure.
Okay. And I'm assuming that that has worked in the past, or you wouldn't have been trying that.
Right, and I guess maybe there are some assumptions there, but yeah, I think if I reflect back, it's worked at some level in the past, for sure.
So there's something different happening now than what has happened before, and I'm hearing you're talking about the economy, so I'm also hearing that there's a possibility of the kinds of reactions that your folks are now getting from others are different than what they're used to, and that's affecting them in some way.
I haven't thought of it that way, but yes, that's a good observation, and I would agree with that, Sharon. Yes.
Okay. So I'm wondering how you can take the skills you all have now and work together in a way that would help your folks manage the personal issues they seem to be having, given the economy.
I think you might be onto something. Yeah, I think that would be maybe a helpful focus, sure.
So what skills do you and they have in place currently that could help them get there? And then we'll see if there's anything missing that you need to add. But let's start with where you're at, okay?
Okay.
So what are the skills you currently all have that you think could support this that you haven't been using yet?
Sure. I think that they all have pretty good, relatively good people skills. They're good communicators. We recently did one of those, you know, behavioral style assessments. So I think there's some awareness of the different, you know, biases and preferences that people have in terms of how they make decisions and how they communicate. So I think there's a level of awareness there. It's a pretty analytical group. So they're good at if there's a problem, they're good at solving a problem. Now sometimes when it's around people, they get a little, I don't want to say squeamish, but what I try to do is frame even people issues as problems, and then they can kind of come at it a little more effectively because they're good at analysis.
Hang on, I have a question.
Sure.
Has there ever been a time where there are any times when people skills are easier for them?
think the times that they're easier are when I try to frame it as just a general problem and say, well, here's a gap. We're trying to do this as a team, and it's not working, and we need to be here, and how do we bridge the gap? When I frame it as a problem, they tend to be able to attack it better. Maybe it feels less like it's a personal thing. So in that context, generally, they tend to be a little better at dealing with the people stuff.
So if I can interject here, because I'm hearing something that I might be able to help you with a little bit.
Right.
It's sounding to me like your people haven't figured out a way to get into a we space with their customers so that they're working together in a way that serves them both. Number one is because it sounds like you're coming at the client as if it were a problem versus being with the client to uncover whatever issues need to be uncovered. So just put that somewhere and we'll take a look at that for a minute. The other thought I'm having is I'm wondering what your people would need to be considering differently now in order to help them add the economic issues into their dynamic and their relationship and their communication style. And I'm saying that because the economy is causing decision-making issues in companies.
Sure.
They're adding more stakeholders than they've ever had. They don't know how to decide together without, they're pretty risk averse, so they're afraid to say, let's do this, and then have everyone else come down on them 2 months from now and whatever. So they're not sure of what they're doing, and the kinds of responses that you're used to are not what you're getting now. So your people used to work on an assumption that a conversation would go a certain way, and now it's not. And they don't have the skills to be able to get into what I call a we space, get more flexible, and figure out together how they need to move forward. Because I'm hearing that together place is missing on all fronts.
I buy that. And can you tell me a little bit more about the we space? I have a framework there, Sharon Drew, about what that...
Okay.
I think I kind of get what you're saying, but maybe a little bit of clarification around that?
Sure. I'm going to ask you, are you talking about sales calls per se or customer service calls? What kind of calls?
Well, these folks primarily kind of manage high-level relationships with our customers. So, yes, there's sales and relationship development and business development calls and contacts that they're...
Okay.
That they're building.
So,
but also, I'm referring to just the how they work together as a team, even internally. So really both.
When there's an assumption that you and I mm-hmm. are working together, there's a different tenor mm-hmm. to the call. You can feel it with our call now. Do you feel like we're working together and we're of a piece here?
Sure.
Well, there is...
I feel like we have aligned objectives.
There are some calls that are task-based. This one's relationship-based. So it's not, hey, Lee, how are you doing? I'm wondering what's going on now, which is very different than, hi, Lee, are you well? So how can we proceed in a way that would support you right now? So you can feel the difference in the tenor of those two openings. One,
sure.
One uses the word we, one has a voice match, voice, tone, tempo, pitch, volume, match. And one of them, I'm thinking in the system of how we relate together as a whole rather than you and me or you versus me. So when
right.
I think of us as one, there's a different conversational tone that includes us together equally. Can you feel that between
okay.
us? You know, this is the first time
yes.
we're talking. I bet you could even feel it now between us. Like we're just
sure.
we're just cool together, right?
Sure.
Okay.
Right. Right.
So what I'm hearing is that your people, once you're approaching a human interaction as there being a problem that needs to be resolved, or the interaction is a problem that has to be solved in some way, then it's you and me, or you versus me, not us.
Right.
Okay?
Got it.
So, and given that the client now is having so many different kinds of problems internally, having your folks truly support them in a way that hears what's going on rather than tries to fix something. The other thing about handling it as if it were a problem oftentimes is that the leader is trying to fix something.
Yes.
Well, imagine if I assumed that you had all the skills you needed and my job were to support you in helping you use those skills and add whatever skills you need to what you've already got.
Yeah, very different context and a set of assumptions. You're right.
Right. So even on this call, I'm saying to you, basically, where are you now? And mm-hmm. what do you need to make it different? And how have you been doing it? And what are you missing? Versus, boy, if I got something for you, I can help. That's not
right.
the attitude. And even though I might be, that's not the attitude. So it's very different, I think.
Yes, very much so. And I'm probably less likely to be defensive about it and feel more empowered because you're helping me reveal the tools that I already have to be able to
yes.
help address the problem versus pointing out a gap.
One of the things that we do in buying facilitation is we always help the person discern where they're at. One of the problems with sales or the kind of communication that is involved with sales is that they treat the problem as if it were an isolated event. So if you're entering the call as if there is a problem or a need,
right.
you're not recognizing that the need or problem exists in a system that maintains this problem every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been going on for X period of time, whether it's a month, a year, a day, doesn't matter. There's now a workaround. There's now people and rules and roles and initiatives that are holding it in place.
Right.
And we can't just go in and solve a problem. I mean, if you were, I don't know, I'm making this up, 50 pounds overweight,
mm-hmm.
I can't say to you, yo, Lee, you need a gym membership. And hey, listen, I'm the CEO of this great gym. Let me tell you about this gym. It's just around the corner from your house, and we have Cybex.
Right.
You would have to decide that you wanted to be a healthy person, that you wanted to eat healthier, that you would have time in your day, you would create time in your day, maybe get up an hour early. You have a whole series of behind-the-scenes decisions that have kept your 50 pounds on you for a period of time and would need to be unraveled and readjusted and reconsidered before you decided on the gym. We have a tendency to take a look at a problem and then we have the solution and we act as if that's an isolated event and forget to go back inside. So by me getting into a we space first, having you look around at all that exists internally and how that's being managed and how that's being handled and what's problematic, and then helping them figure out how to look at it, how to address it, how to bring everybody on board, how to get buy-in from everyone. That way you're really being a leader and helping them discover their own answers and find excellence for themselves.
Very good. I like that. And you know, it kind of resonates with me, Sharon Drew, because it's somewhat analogous. It's kind of the internal version of what we use in our organizational development consulting in that we have this saying that says, culture will eat strategy 24/7. So no matter what your strategy is, all the constraints of the culture and all those other things that go on are really the things you need to address. And it sounds to me it's a similar approach, but this is internal. It's acknowledging this at the individual level, that everyone has their own internal mm-hmm. culture, if you will, set of constraints and considerations and all internal system
mm-hmm.
that as someone trying to help them, we need to acknowledge that system before we could really try to help them.
Now, the whole first half of my new book is about systems change management and decision making. So although it looks like a sales book, it's really a book that teaches people how to understand all that stuff going on behind the scenes. And it teaches you how to unravel it in a way that keeps the system in integrity with itself. Because no system will allow you to just change one part and walk away. That's where buyers go when they say, I'll call you back. They're going to go fix all that themselves or figure it out or something.
Right.
And sales doesn't help us manage that.
Right.
But this material really will help you have the tools to help them. You can't do it for them. You don't live there with them. You're
That's
not sitting
right.
in their laps. You're not there over lunch with them. You're not there. But
yes.
you can give them the tools to do it for themselves. And so I think if you add that to your thinking, that might help you. So has this helped?
That's very helpful, because I think sometimes I underestimate the power of maintaining equilibrium in someone's internal system has. You know, so you know, as a leader, I want to just insert something, well, just do this, go to this training, or think of the problem differently this way, or do this differently, without acknowledging that they've got this whole system of, in a lot of cases, it's a system of effectiveness that's worked for them,
right.
but there are systems in there, and all kinds of constraints, good and bad, that I think I haven't taken the time to help understand, and then and probably in some cases help them
right.
see it also,
right.
then I think once they see it, then they could buy into
Absolutely.
And choose the change versus it feeling like it's being put in on them.
Yes.
And, and whether I like it or not, even if I force a change on them, if it doesn't fit into the system, it's not going to happen anyway.
Perfect. That's called homeostasis. I have a whole part of homeostasis in my book.
Okay.
So well done, Lee.
Well, thank you. I'm going to hire you as my coach. I appreciate it, Sharon Drew.
I'm hoping this call gave your listeners some new tips and new tools.
I'm sure it did. And folks, please take a look at Sharon Drew's new book. I love it. Dirty Little Secrets, Why Buyers Can't Buy and Sellers Can't Sell and What You Can Do About It. And just as Sharon Drew mentioned, I was really surprised that she asked me to kind of read through the book at one point, that it really is about change. It's less about selling. It's about how do you help people find and discover these underlying systems so you can help them take ownership of the change and make the change real and sustainable. And
well,
I was really impressed with
well,
that.
Well, there's one other thing it actually does. Because sales comes in, or any kind of change, coaching, negotiating, comes in at the problem end,
mm-hmm.
and sales, the job of sales is net, to
mm-hmm.
create a solution, to bring in a solution. Even a coach's job is to bring in a solution.
Right.
And nobody manages those behind-the-scenes issues that need to be addressed before any kind of change or buy-in happens. So I give the seller and the coach and the change agent and the leader a new set of skills to help the person go internally, make the changes they need to make, get the buy-in that they need to get, so that they can bring in the change and create the solution on their own with the support of the leader.
Love it. And I think, Sharon Drew, I think it's really powerful, but I think it's even more powerful in the context of today's kind of microwave world. When this information-rich, time-poor world, everyone wants to, like, boom, 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 just get it done. I see myself falling into that trap. So a client comes in with a problem. I just want to solve that problem. Here's the answer. Whether it's my wife or my kids, dad, I have an issue. Honey, I have a problem. Boom, solve the problem. And because we're just on this, like, treadmill of life, I think we don't really take the time to step back.